This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm gonna need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
If you run down the show this week, it's a bit of a best of. Welcome to Wiggins America. This is not just the best of the year, though. Although there is, I think, one, maybe two bits that we did this year. And by bits, now, this isn't the comedy stuff. This is the best interviews, really, that I've done. Let me tell you what's ahead, okay? We got Nico Moran from Bitcoin talking about the realities of digital currency. And the daughter of Richard Matheson. That was a great interview. So we're going to play that in this hour. Also, when I had the talk with my son, we're going to talk about that again this hour. That's all coming up. But then in the next hour, if you've ever wondered if Joe Biden could actually be removed using the 25th Amendment, listen to the first segment of the second hour. Then Missy Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Then Don McLean, American Pie. Yep, that's the best. It's pretty much the best we ever got. I had Peter Navarro lined up too, Victoria Jackson, but I thought, you know what? Kind of pared it down to this. This is my best of. So hopefully you enjoy some of these crazy people interviews that I've done. Not crazy people, but crazy interviews. Like, why am I interviewing the Duck Dynasty lady? I don't know. Stick around. 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
FM Talk, this is Wiggins America. I've been looking forward to all weekend our conversation with Nico Moran, who has been on the show before. So welcome back, Nico.
Happy to be here, man. Thank you for having me back.
So your time with Swan Bitcoin has been very valuable in explaining a lot of what, you know, this is a big world that we're talking about with finance and the way things are changing and with digital currency in general and Bitcoin. And I, you know, Trump was in the news recently for saying, and lots of other people have said this too, but he, you know, he made some headlines recently saying, if I'm president, we will not allow a central bank digital currency. Now, when he said that, something popped into my mind that I thought, I think I know what that means, but I'm not exactly sure. So that's why I said, let's have Nico Moran from Swan Bitcoin back on to kind of explain, at least in layman's terms, what is a central bank digital currency?
Yeah, so a central bank digital currency is essentially, in my opinion, the government's attempt to maintain control over money. I think they see Bitcoin and the rise of other digital currencies as a threat to their system. And because Bitcoin is fully decentralized, they can't just really, you know, flick the switch. So what they're hoping for is to roll out these central bank digital currencies as quickly as humanly possible for them to be able to maintain the privilege of being able to create money for free that everyone else has to work for. So in the United States, we have multiple different payment platforms, whether it's Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, Zelle. There's so many of them. And one of the arguments from the current administration as to why central bank digital currencies are necessary is to improve the efficiency of payments. I don't know about you, but all those platforms makes payments extremely efficient in the United States. The real, in my opinion, the real push for these CBDCs, again, is for the government to continue to try to hope to maintain control or their monopoly on not only the creation of money, but also the flows of money. Think about it this way, because these CBDCs have already been rolled out in mainland China. It would allow the government to essentially turn off your money at a moment's notice. It would allow them to install social controls. And essentially what that means is, let's say you behave badly in the eyes of the government, they could penalize you, right? Your money having an expiration date. There are so many reasons as to why a central bank digital currency is not only necessary, it could lead to so many abuses by government.
Okay, so explain to me. I think I follow you, but the what I can't get my head around is that when I spend money now, so much of it is digital that I don't really get the difference between having a digital dollar versus having what this is, a central bank digital currency. Is this a new kind of currency? Because so many things I do are already digital anyway.
So you hit the nail on the head, right? It's like, wait a second, hold on. Like, I don't really have cash. I have, you know, my debit card. I have my account. Like, everything that I do is digital, right? You hit the nail on the head. Where's the necessity for this? But to answer your question directly, essentially, instead of you having a relationship with your bank and your bank is the custodian of your money, you would essentially have a direct account with the Fed itself. You would have a direct account with the government itself. Essentially, the government would be the bank. And, you know, I think history has shown many, many examples as to why that would be a terrible idea. So essentially, that's what it would be. You would have a direct account with, with the government. You would have a direct account with the central bank. And essentially, they would function as your bank. They would function as your custodian. But again, it goes back to my original point. Why is that necessary? I don't really understand why that's necessary. We have efficient payments. We have private companies that are trying to tackle this problem. But my opinion, and this is actually a paper that was released a couple years ago, central bank digital currencies are a response to the adoption of Bitcoin. They're a response to the adoption of alternative platforms that the government doesn't control. The head of the European Central Bank, her name is Christine Lagarde, she calls Bitcoin and alternative currency, she calls them an escape valve. Central bank digital currency is the government's last attempt. It's like their Hail Mary attempt in order to maintain their control and their monopoly over money.
Interesting. Okay, so if Bitcoin comes out and we can say confidently, at least I think, that there is no inflation, or if there is, there's a very, very small sustained inflation with Bitcoin, with new ones being created all the time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, so Bitcoin is a deflationary currency, meaning about every 4 years the supply gets cut in half, meaning the supply that's being mined, the supply that's being actively put onto the market, that supply gets cut in half every 4 years. There's no other asset that offers that. If you compare that to fiat currency, there's an unlimited amount. Really, there's no limit to how much more money they can print, right? There will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. And because there will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin, it creates absolute scarcity. That's why Bitcoin has been the best performing asset of the last 10, 15 years, because it's for the first time in human history, even if people wanted to mine more Bitcoin, get more Bitcoin, they physically couldn't because of the current protocol rules. If you compare that with gold, gold is pretty scarce. But the thing is, if the price of gold rises, the mining of gold also increases with it. If the price of Bitcoin rises, it doesn't matter. The supply stays the same. The amount of Bitcoin being mined, no matter what, gets cut in half every 4 years. And that creates a situation where you have the most scarce asset in human history.
So Nico Moran with Swan Bitcoin is on with us right now. So if you have a dollar or a Japanese yen or a government controlled even digital currency that they're saying, hey, we get that there's some benefits to Bitcoin. We just want to make that a government version of that. But if they did, it wouldn't be as scarce. They would want to be able to print as much as they could, right?
Governments will never be able to do two things that Bitcoin offers, right? Number one is governments will always want to debase the currency. That's how they pay for the deficit spending. That's how they pay for things they cannot afford with tax revenue alone. So governments will always want to debase currency, and governments will always want to censor. They'll always want to at least try to control the money flows. And those are two things that Bitcoin offers that governments, even if they really wanted to, even if they promised, they could not help themselves but not to do those two things, right? So that's really the key determining factor. And we're heading into a future where people are going to have to pick and choose. And it's a little bit obfuscated right now, but it is getting included in the political discourse. As you know, you've seen Donald Trump mention it. You've seen Ron DeSantis. You've seen Vivek Ramaswamy. You've seen on the other side, you've seen RFK Jr. Both mention that not only are CBDCs a terrible idea, but Bitcoin is actually a good idea. So it is being talked about in the political discourse. That will continue to accelerate in the next couple of years. This will be a hot button issue, I guarantee you, by election year 2028. And people are going to have to pick and choose whether they want to use a currency that is deflationary, meaning your purchasing power increases over time, or do they want to use a currency that is inflationary, meaning your purchasing power decreases over time. People have been convinced that for some reason, your money has to lose value. That is not true. And that is what Bitcoin proves. And that's why governments are so scared. And that's why they're rolling out these CBDCs as fast as humanly possible.
Man, it's so interesting to stay ahead of the curve on this because, like you said, you know, this is something that the politicians are beginning to address now. You mentioned DeSantis. I was going to say his name too. Ramaswamy, I didn't even know he had talked about it. RFK Jr., great to hear that he is too because I didn't know that. But they're talking about it, but you're right, it's not front and center yet. They're just sort of addressing it, which I guess is good that they are addressing the issue. But like you said, in 2028, maybe even beyond that, this is going to be something that will be affecting everyday consumers should they continue to push for it. Nico, I want to, before we run out of time here, I want to ask you just in general, can you give us an idea of why I've seen personally Bitcoin has risen dramatically in the last few months? It was kind of at a low, and I'm glad to say that I bought. I dabbled in it. I didn't really buy a lot, but I wanted to just buy some to say that I bought some. And I did so at the right time, and now it's gone back up. What is the reason for that?
Yeah, so it's infinity divided by 21 million, right? There's an infinite amount of dollars, but there's only 21 million Bitcoin. So, you know, as long as they continue to print, which they can't help themselves but to do that, you know, this thing's going to go up forever. It's meant to go up forever. And that sounds unbelievable, right? You see, you hear that, you're like, yeah, that sounds kind of weird, right? But just do the math. It's very simple math. Infinity divided by 21 million. There will only ever be 21 million Bitcoin. And I'll break it down like this. There's roughly 60 to 70 million millionaires all around the world. If every single one of those millionaires wanted to buy just one Bitcoin, they physically could not buy one. There's not enough for them, right? So this thing is absolutely scarce. It will protect your purchasing power. It is not meant to be traded. It is meant as savings. Bitcoin is savings. So you know, if you take a portion of your income, whether that's 10, 20%, whatever you can afford, and you put it aside and you don't touch that thing, you know, Bitcoin will protect your purchasing power, protect your energy, your time, which is currently being stolen from via inflation, via currency debasement.
Nico Moran of Swan Bitcoin, man, I really appreciate your knowledge and your time and for being a resource for us on these topics. How do people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, you could find me on Twitter, or I think it's called X now. You could go to @BitVolt, and you could find me there, and you can hear some more of my thoughts. And thank you so much, Ryan, for having me on the show. It's been great, like always. Appreciate it.
Well, we will continue to connect with you when these issues come up, because I appreciate your knowledge on them. This is Wiggins America. We will be right back. 97.1 FM Talk, Wiggins America. Super, super excited. I always say I'm excited to have guests, and I'll tell you what. Half the time I'm lying to you because I don't even compared to this guest, they're all just nothing. This is a really fun one for me. Ali Marie Matheson is on the phone. So good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning.
I don't mean to bash all my other guests. I just mean to say I'm really excited to talk to you because for a variety of reasons. Now, you're a very accomplished writer yourself, so I do want to talk about that. But first and foremost, we'll get to the headline here. Your dad is Richard Matheson, one of the greatest science fiction and general writers of all time, in my opinion.
Yes, I think he is, too. I think he was a landmark artist who was there before many other writers in so many genres. And if anything, X amount of them emulate him today and hopefully pay homage to where the start came from.
Well, I would put myself in that category. I like writing comedy probably a little bit more than he did. But gosh, his sci-fi and just his mind for stories, he came up with so many stories. That's what impresses me.
Yeah, so what also impressed me and always interested me was that he made clear he was interested in the minutia and the day-to-day. He was never interested in writing a gothic drama, although he did for AI. He did write it for a couple of Jack Nicholson, and not the actor, but the producer. He wrote The Pit and the Pendulum and a couple of really gothic pieces, but that was not really the genre that interested him per se, as much as he liked to put horror stories into the day-to-day.
Yeah,
which I find fascinating.
So why, since you knew him better than anybody else I'll ever talk to, I want to dig into that a little bit, because
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Right there. 97.1 FM Talk, Wiggins America. Super, super excited. I always say I'm excited to have guests, and I'll tell you what. Half the time I'm lying to you, because I don't even, compared to this guest, they're all just nothing. This is a really fun one for me. Allie Marie Matheson is on the phone, so good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning.
I don't mean to bash all my other guests. I just mean to say I'm really excited to talk to you, because for a variety of reasons. Now, you're a very accomplished writer yourself, so I do want to talk about that. But first and foremost, we'll get to the headline here. Your dad is Richard Matheson, one of the greatest science fiction and general writers of all time, in my opinion.
Yes, I think he is too. I think he was a landmark artist who was there before many other writers in so many genres. And if anything, X amount of them emulate him today and hopefully pay homage to where the start came from.
Well, I would put myself in that category. I like writing comedy probably a little bit more than he did, but gosh, his sci-fi and just his mind for stories, he came up with so many stories. That's what impresses me.
Yes, what also impressed me and always interested me was that he made clear he was interested in the minutiae and the day-to-day. He was never interested in writing a gothic drama, although he did for AI. He did write it for a couple of Jack Nicholson, and not the actor, but the producer. He wrote The Pit and the Pendulum and a couple of really gothic pieces, but that was not really the genre that interested him per se, as much as he liked to put horror stories into the day-to-day.
Yeah,
which I find fascinating.
So why, since you knew him better than anybody else I'll ever talk to, I want to dig into that a little bit, because I've been over the last couple weeks, I knew I was going to talk to you, so I've been going back over my favorite Matheson stuff, of course, and what just keeps sticking out to me, because I watched some movies like Trilogy of Terror and I'm going to get the title wrong, but it's Dark of Night. Is that right?
Well, you're probably right, because I don't know.
There's so many. But he had a couple of movies that were they were basically anthologies. Like, you know, they had different stories within each in the movie. And I'm watching them, and I'm thinking, man, these ideas are so different from even each other. But the one theme that kind of goes through them is that there's always this either suspense or even terror element that you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop, no matter what's happening, you know? And so I wonder, why is that? Why did he, you know, why did he incline himself toward those things?
To be honest, I think because he was waiting for the other shoe. So yeah, I was just saying my dad was a very careful man. I'm notorious for my list making. Every day I have lists upon lists of things to do and what you should do, could do, would do. And my dad did that too. So my dad was very careful and punctilious in his work, and I think, you know, it's not any sort of expose that he was paranoid about things.
Allie, when people come up to you or they contact you online or wherever it is, what work do they cite the most often as being either one that impacted them the most or their favorite of Richard Matheson?
It's interesting you should ask that, because really, in a way, there's two camps. There's the sci-fi camp, the I Am Legend, his short stories, his Twilight Zones, etc. There's that camp. And then there's the Somewhere in Time aficionados. And believe you me, the two do not meet. The twain does not meet. It's very funny in a way, because Somewhere in Time, my dad wrote it, and it's a beautiful romance. Excuse me, with Jane Seymour and Chris Reeve, beautifully set, beautiful music, etc. But most of its fans are women, and most of its fans are older women. So I actually had, because I belong to Somewhere in Time Facebook group, I actually had someone who shall remain nameless say she was just shocked that my father had written sci-fi, etc., because for some reason she seemed to think he was a romance writer, which I found very funny. If there's one thing my father was not, it was, a Hallmarkian sort of writer. He didn't do things like that. So if anything, Somewhere in Time is the anomaly in his career.
But you worked on Somewhere in Time with him to some degree, right?
Oh, well, worked is a misnomer. I had fun doing a walk-on part, and he had at least lines. He probably gets residuals. But it was just fun. I've been a couple of times representing him at the Somewhere in Time weekend. And a lot of fans, they dress up in the clothes. They've seen it 50, 60 times. They're just huge fans of his movie, and it's really very sweet to experience. But they obviously are very different than his other fans.
So Allie Marie Matheson is on the phone with us. She is the daughter of Richard Matheson, but a writer in her own right. Now, I'm assuming that you grew up around it, and that's why you became a writer. Maybe it was just in your blood to be a creative, of course, too. When you talked with him, did you talk shop? Did you talk writing with him much?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. It actually reminds me of that Monty Python skit where everybody was a writer or creative, and then one of the sons wants to become an accountant, and how disappointed they are in him and what he's doing. It's like that was the milieu. Excuse my French. That's all I got. But that was really the ambiance of the family. My brothers wrote. I wrote. My dad wrote. My mom was a therapist, which was probably to deal with all of us. But that was, I mean, it's not like we all sat around the table discussing our projects. To be honest, we didn't do that sort of thing. Doing different things. But yes, my father was always very helpful. And by the way, if I can put a push for my Facebook site, I run a site on him, for him on Facebook that I run called He Is Legend. And I hope any and all of his fans will join because it is both personal and professional, and it's full of pictures and comments, and it's pretty cool.
I Am Legend. When I said, hey, I'm going to interview Allie Marie Matheson, a couple of the guys around here said, well, ask her about the new I Am Legend, because I've been reading that there's supposed to be a reboot. Is this something I can ask you about? Do you know anything about it?
Well, the motto in my family was, until it's on paper,
yeah,
it isn't. So I think it was moving forward, and to be honest, obviously, I think the Academy Award kerfuffle maybe put things backwards a little. It just is, it's absolutely percolating, but again, it's not quite on paper yet.
Okay, no, that's good to know, because they were all saying, how's Will Smith going to be in it? Because he dies at the end of the first one. So I won't ask you for details, but everybody's interested.
Oh, that never stops any movie.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, they just resurrect him. What the heck?
Well, yeah, the whole movie's and the book is about resurrection, so maybe he's just a creature in this one. I do want to ask you, now this wasn't on my list necessarily, but I was thinking back over reading I Am Legend, which has been a few years since I've read it now, but that's a novella, and so there are other short stories in the official book as far as I remember, unless I'm reading a collection or something. But one of those stories, I don't know if you knew this, I'm asking you such deep detail, there's no way you're going to know this, but one of those stories always stuck with me. It's set in St. Louis, actually. Did you know that?
No, which one is it?
I wish I could remember the name of it, because it was just coming to me like as I was coming into the studio to talk to you. But it's a story about driving on, deep, dark highways outside of St. Louis. And obviously there's an ominous feel to it. And that's what I remember, is just the sense of dread that he was able to bring up in that story. And the fact that it was set in St. Louis always stuck with me. And now I got to go reread it because I feel bad not knowing the details.
Do you feel there's a connection with that?
Yes, I do. And everybody listening right now, even though it's a completely different time and they're probably in a completely different place, they know that place in their memory in St. Louis that they go, oh, yeah, that's a scary road to be on. And it takes everybody there who I've talked to who's read it.
Well, my father saw the world in a different way. That's for sure. I mean, we've all been on the highway and we've had maybe a car come up behind us or a truck and maybe they came too close, etc. But most of us wouldn't say, oh, it's time to write Duel. But my father saw things, and they absolutely sparked something in him.
It is impressive. I just watched Duel recently. Like I said, catching back up on all my Matheson works. That he's able to pull scary things or suspense out of such mundane details. It's really amazing.
Have you ever read Drink of Water?
By title, I don't remember.
Oh, it's a really interesting story about just how many things can go wrong and horrifying on trying to get a drink of water.
Oh, wow.
And that so embodies my dad. It's just something really simple.
Yeah, absolutely. So Allie Marie Matheson, almost out of time with her this morning, but I do want to ask you about some of your own work, because, gosh, you're pretty accomplished yourself, and you've been involved in all of the Rugrats world in many different ways, and So Weird, which was a show that hit when I was just a little too old to be watching Disney, but I still was familiar with it because I liked the show. So of your career, The Collector and other things, I'll ask you the same question I asked about your dad. What do people approach you about that they say, oh, I loved when you worked on, you did this?
You know what? It's on this month. It's called Halloween Town.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Halloween Town 1 and 2. It was like something that I'd written with my old partner, with Debbie Reynolds. And I am somehow notorious in Halloween world. Because yeah, watch Halloween Town, and there's so many kids who say, oh, my gosh, I saw that. It changed my life. And blah, blah, blah. And it's just a little fun romp.
Yeah, I'm amazed to tell you this, and you cut out just there recently, so I hope I'm not talking over you, but I've actually seen Halloween Town, and I'm familiar with the whole genre. Those did have an impact on me, too.
I know, it's goofy as get out. Suffice to say, it's nothing like my father did, so yeah, I mean, my brother Richard R.C. does stuff like my dad, and my other brother, he does his interesting stuff, but I kind of stuck to a lot of kids stuff, although, you know, I've done adult stuff too, so I've covered most genres myself.
So before I let you go, Allie, my favorite of his Twilight Zone episodes, which that to me was just the original Twilight Zone, there's no beating that, but Nightmare at 20,000 Feet gets all the attention, but Little Girl Lost and The Invaders, those two to me, I didn't even realize those were Richard Matheson episodes until just recently, and those are two of my favorites. So can I ask you what your favorite Twilight Zone of his was?
Yeah, you know, I wish I could remember the title of it, but it's the one where the guy is sitting in his office, and all of a sudden somebody else cut in the background,
yes.
And he finds himself on a studio, and he finds out that the life he's been living is he's an actor. And at the very end, they're taking apart the set, and his life as an actor is just a debacle. And he says, but in the storyline of the show, he's got a wonderful wife and a wonderful life. And they're taking everything apart. And he says, please don't leave me here. I don't want to be here. Please don't leave me here. And all of a sudden, the set suddenly transforms. And he's back in that other world. And he walks out the door with her. And he can hear the set being dissembled in the background. But he leaves with her. He can go live that life. I loved that episode.
It's so creative, and it always takes you by surprise at how weighty and how much depth there is to his stuff when you read it or watch it, isn't it?
Yeah, and he named the woman's character after my mom, too, so he did a lot of that, and that was lovely.
Oh, that's cool. So, Allie, if somebody's listening to this interview and they go, well, I know the name Richard Matheson, certainly I've heard of I Am Legend, where would you recommend they start if they're just like, you know what, I want to look this guy up, I want to read something of his or watch something that's based on something he wrote, where would you suggest they start?
Well, if you're a 6-year-old woman and you want romance, I go wander over somewhere in time. If you're a cool guy who's interested in sci-fi, I'd start with the short stories or I Am Legend. If you're interested in the afterlife, I would look into What Dreams May Come. And that's what made my dad so amazing. It's like, name your interest, and my dad probably covered it. And my dad wrote westerns. So
that's right.
Whatever you are interested in, you could probably find.
Well, Allie, we so appreciate your time here. I certainly do. And gosh, I will treasure and record this interview back for my kids, because I love his work so much that I get to tell them that I got to talk to you. So thank you so much this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Very nice to talk to you, too.
All right. More Wiggins America right around the corner. We got more best of material coming up of our scripted stuff. So stick around. Boy, I saved the best for last. My son is 9 years old. My other son's 6. And my daughter is also 9. I am not planning on having the talk with my daughter. I'm going to let my wife do that.
Excellent decision.
Now, you have a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
Did you guys delineate that way?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you ever have the talk with your son?
We had a talk, but probably not. I don't know. It's awkward for everybody, for every dad to have to go through this, but it's one of those things that you do. But we did the same thing. We did.
Yeah. She had a talk with the girl.
She handled the daughter. Yeah. I handled the son.
So did you make an appointment, like, I need to talk with him, so I'm going to sit him down? Or did you just wait for a moment where, kind of naturally, I'm going to do it here?
Oh, I waited. It was extremely awkward. And
did he know it was coming?
No.
So you just kind of said, hey, let's talk for a second.
Yeah.
And sprung it on him.
Right.
How old do you think he was? Do you remember?
probably middle school, I think.
Okay. So this would have been, let's see, he would have been 11 or 12, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Or a little, maybe even a little older. What spurned it for you? I'm genuinely asking your advice here because you've gone through this.
I can't remember exactly, but typically these things, I know when I was a kid and when my dad had to talk with me, it was...
You remember it?
Yeah. It was because something was said or something happened that was like, I don't know what this means, but I'm going to say it because I heard it at school. And then it's like everybody gets this weird look on their face like, oh, what did you just say? And then dad ushers you out into the car. We go for a drive and we have a talk.
Do you know how old you were?
I was in grade school.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how old, but...
I don't remember exactly how old I was. I would guess maybe third grade. But I remember my dad sitting me down. It was in the back of our station wagon. Mm. And I don't remember exactly how old we were, but I remember the talk just because if my dad had sat me down and told me some new information that I wasn't aware of, I would have been like, oh, okay. That's cool. I don't know if I would have remembered it. But he was so uncomfortable, and it was such a weird thing for him to take me aside.
Yeah.
And then to be sitting in the back of our car. I don't even remember why we were. I really don't. But our station wagon had one of those like hatchback that opens up.
Yeah.
But then it had a seat that faced the back.
Yeah.
So we were sitting in there, and I remember it was like he had to get me sitting somewhere where I was a captive audience, mm-hmm. and then he had to like explain some things, and I was like, okay, I'm not really sure why we're having this discussion or why this is so important, but you clearly think it is. So that's what I remember. I remember a couple lines from it that I won't share on the air because, you know, but I just had the talk with my son. Since my 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal, the way this has played out. Last year, actually, I guess 2 years ago now, so 2022, we went down to Florida for a soccer tournament, just me and him. And I thought, we're going to be in the car for 2 hours driving to this thing. I'm just going to bust it out in the middle of that thing and just see what he thinks, because he's captive audience. Again, great idea. Mm-hmm. So I did. And here's exactly how this conversation plays out. We stopped at a gas station because I wanted to get him like a treat or something to have that he could kind of turn to if he was feeling weird. Mm-hmm. So I got him a king-size smoothie Skittles, smoothie flavor. I was also kind of interested in these.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, because I had never tried them. So we're driving, and I don't get him a lot of candy, especially a king-size candy like that. So this was a pretty big deal. He's like, oh, man, this is great. 2 hours, and I got a big old thing of candy, and I think maybe a slush, too. I'm not sure. And so I said, hey, do you know what what sex is? And warning, parent warning, you know, if you got your kids in the car, obviously, you know where we're headed. We've been talking about it for 4 minutes now. But I said, you know what this is? And he said, yeah, I do. And I was like, oh, because he was only 8 at the time. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, it's when the gametes meet and they form a zygote. And one comes from the father and the other comes from the mother. And one gets an X chromosome, a Y chromosome, would form a boy. 2 X's would form a girl. I mean, it was just full, like, this is exactly what this is. And it forms a new child in the mother's womb. The mother carries it to gestation. I was like, dang, man. And he reads a lot.
Yeah.
And so he's read this in probably kids' anatomy books that explain it scientifically, which is what they're doing. I'm glad they're doing that and not explaining other things. Mm-hmm. And we're very careful about what we give them and let them watch and stuff. So right. I'm pretty sure I knew which book this had come from, but I didn't realize that it was like, oh, he's got it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you know how that happens? And he's like, well, yeah, I think I just told you. Like, well, there's a little more to it than that. You know, it involves a husband and a wife and so on. And so I explained, the action to him. And he was like, huh, okay. And I said, do you have any questions or anything? And he's just scientifically, factually interested in this. Yeah. And that's it. Right. On that level alone.
Yeah.
So clearly I've gotten to him before he's starting to hit puberty. So he goes, okay. I said, you got any questions? He goes, what do you think is your favorite flavor of the smoothie Skittles?
That's perfect.
And I'm like, I think it's strawberry, man. That was it. That was the conversation. So I'm like, well, I did my fatherly duty, but then we just had, again, in November, we had another one of those trips where I knew I was going to be in the car with him, same deal. And I thought I'm going to follow up because if anything's changed in a year, and at this time it could, maybe I could bring it back up and he had more questions. Well, I did, and he just kind of didn't. And in fact, he's at that age now where he's like, bleh. Yeah. Girls, you know?
Right.
So I'm asking you, as an older and wiser person in the faith, do I just keep going back to him? Do I make this an endless dialogue now? Or do I sit down with him again at some point and have the talk?
It's tough because all kids have so much access, no matter how careful we are.
And we are very careful.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to get exposed. So and I'm certainly not an expert, but my recommendation would be that you just watch and observe, and you'll be able to tell when he's starting to get interested in, when the hormones start going.
Yeah.
And things are changing a little bit. And then pick your time. I wouldn't just keep drilling it.
Well,
until you sense, or you could wait like me till I say something stupid in front of a big room full of people, and then
let's go sit in the back of the station wagon, son.
But you know, you're a good parent, and you got great kids, and I think that you'll be able to sense when the time's right. It kind of happens.
So my daughter is already getting to that point, and I'm fully allowing my wife to have those conversations. I am not doing it because I don't know what to say. My wife is an enigma to me, and so is my daughter. I don't get them, and that is okay. I'm okay with having that. Like, I actually enjoy the fact that I still think my wife is a bit of a mystery, because it's like every day I wake up and there's just something else to be solved.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's annoying, but overall, it's why I love her.
Yeah.
And my daughter is the same way. My boys are very huggy. My daughter, when I hug her, she chickens me. She goes, bark, bark, and then she just like noses me in the chest. And I'm like, this isn't really normal, but you're weird. But I think I'm leaning toward doing exactly what you're saying, especially now having heard it. Not pushing it, but just keeping that line of dialogue open.
Yeah.
Because I think he feels comfortable enough to just ask me questions. And that's what I want, is for him, when he gets there, to be like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And then to be like, oh, I know who I can answer that is Dad. Because I remember that he kind of had these conversations with me. He'll tell me, and he'll tell me privately. And that's the other neat thing that I try to cultivate, is like, hey, this is between you and me.
Right.
You know, not everybody knows about this. But between you and me, here's what's really going on. And that makes him feel like, oh, we got this special little thing then.
Yeah.
So I can bring it to you. That's kind of what I'm trying to create.
He's so analytical and, like you said, just focused on facts.
Yes.
That I think you lucked out with him. The younger one might be an interesting.
I know. Hey, he's six. Yeah. I don't have to cross that bridge yet. But at some point, the interesting conversation is going to happen with the younger one, because I think I kind of let things slide a little bit more with that. That's got to be the third child thing.
Uh-huh.
That the first two were like, you cannot experience this until we say you're ready. The third one, we're like, just stay up till midnight. Who cares? Roy, thanks for being here. Thanks for your advice. Always appreciate your sage wisdom and your friendship. Nothing to add?
You're welcome.
Again, there's that sage wisdom.
Yeah.
Great communicator.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to Wiggins America. We will see you next time.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Up of our scripted stuff, so stick around. Boy, I saved the best for last. My son is 9 years old. My other son's 6. And my daughter is also 9. I am not planning on having the talk with my daughter. I'm going to let my wife do that.
Excellent decision.
Now, you have a boy and a girl.
Yeah.
Did you guys delineate that way?
Pretty much, yeah.
Did you ever have the talk with your son?
We had a talk, but probably not. I don't know. It's awkward for everybody, for every dad to have to go through this, but it's one of those things that you do. But we did the same thing. We did.
Yeah. She had a talk with the girl.
She handled the daughter. I handled the son.
So did you make an appointment like I need to talk with him, so I'm going to sit him down? Or did you just wait for a moment where kind of naturally I'm going to do it here?
I waited. It was extremely awkward. And
did he know it was coming?
No.
So you just kind of said, hey, let's talk for a second.
Yeah.
And sprung it on him.
Right.
How old do you think he was? Do you remember?
Probably middle school, I think.
Okay. So this would have been, let's see, he would have been 11 or 12, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Or a little older. What spurned it for you? I'm genuinely asking your advice here because you've gone through this.
I can't remember exactly, but typically these things, I know when I was a kid and when my dad had to talk with me, it was...
Do you remember it?
Yeah. It was because something was said or something happened that was like, I don't know what this means, but I'm going to say it because I heard it at school. And then it's like everybody gets this weird look on their face like, oh, what did you just say? And then dad ushers you out into the car. We go for a drive and we have a talk.
Do you know how old you were?
I was in grade school.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how old, but
I don't remember exactly how old I was. I would guess maybe third grade. But I remember my dad sitting me down. It was in the back of our station wagon.
Mm.
And I don't remember exactly how old we were, but I remember the talk. Just because if my dad had sat me down and told me some new information that I wasn't aware of, I would have been like, oh, okay, that's cool. I don't know if I would have remembered it. But he was so uncomfortable, and it was such a weird thing for him to take me aside.
Yeah.
And then to be sitting in the back of our car. I don't even remember why we were. I really don't. But our station wagon had one of those like hatchback that opened up.
Yeah.
But then it had a seat that faced the back.
Yeah.
So we were sitting in there. And I remember it was like he had to get me sitting somewhere where I was a captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to like explain some things. And I was like, okay, I'm not really sure why we're having this discussion or why this is so important. But you clearly think it is. So that's what I remember. I remember a couple lines from it that I won't share on the air because, you know. So I just had the talk with my son. My 9-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. The way this has played out. Last year, actually, I guess 2 years ago now. So 2022, we went down to Florida for a soccer tournament, just me and him. And I thought, we're going to be in the car for 2 hours driving to this thing. I'm just going to bust it out in the middle of that thing and just see what he thinks. Because he's captive audience. Again, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And here's exactly how this conversation plays out. We stopped at a gas station because I wanted to get him like a treat or something to have that he could kind of turn to if he was feeling weird.
Mm-hmm.
So I got him a king-size smoothie Skittles, smoothie flavor. I was also kind of interested in these.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah, because I had never tried them. So we're driving, and I don't get him a lot of candy, especially a king size candy like that. So this was a pretty big deal. He's like, oh man, this is great. 2 hours and I got a big old thing of candy. And I think maybe a slush too. I'm not sure. And so I said, hey, do you know what what sex is? And warning, parent warning, you know, if you got your kids in the car, obviously you know where we're headed. We've been talking about it for 4 minutes now. But I said, you know what this is? And he said, yeah, I do. And I was like, oh, because he was only 8 at the time. And I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, it's when the gametes meet and they form a zygote. And one comes from the father and the other comes from the mother. And one gets an X chromosome, a Y chromosome would form a boy. 2 X's would form a girl. I mean, it was just full, like, this is exactly what this is, and it forms a new child in the mother's womb. The mother carries it to gestation. I was like, dang, man. And he reads a lot.
Yeah.
And so he's read this in probably kids' anatomy books that explain it scientifically, which is what they're doing. I'm glad they're doing that and not explaining other things.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very careful about what we give them and let them watch and stuff. So right. I'm pretty sure I knew which book this had come from, but I didn't realize that it was like, oh, he's got it.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you know how that happens? And he's like, well, yeah, I think I just told you. I'm like, well, there's a little more to it than that. You know, it involves a husband and a wife and so on. And so I explained the action to him. And he was like, huh, okay. I said, do you have any questions or anything? And he's just scientifically, factually interested in this. Yeah. And that's it. Right. On that level alone.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to him before he's starting to hit puberty. Uh-huh. So he goes, okay. I said, you got any questions? He goes, what do you think is your favorite flavor of the smoothie Skittles?
That's perfect.
And I'm like, I think it's strawberry, man. That was it. That was the conversation. So I'm like, well, I did my fatherly duty, but then we just had, again, in November, we had another one of those trips where I knew I was going to be in the car with him, same deal. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to follow up because if anything's changed in a year, and at this time it could,
yeah,
maybe I could bring it back up and he had more questions. Well, I did, and he just kind of didn't. And in fact, he's at that age now where he's like, bleh. Yeah. Girls, you know?
Right.
So I'm asking you, as an older and wiser person in the faith,
uh-huh,
do I just keep going back to him? Do I make this an endless dialogue now? Or do I sit down with him again at some point and have the talk?
It's tough because all kids have so much access, no matter how careful we are.
And we are very careful.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to get exposed. So and I'm certainly not an expert, but my recommendation would be that you just watch and observe, and you'll be able to tell when he's starting to get interested in, when the hormones start going.
Yeah.
And things are changing a little bit. And then pick your time. I wouldn't just keep drilling it.
Until you
sense, or you could wait like me till I say something stupid in front of a big room full of people, and then
let's go sit in the back of the station wagon, son.
But you know, you're a good parent and you got great kids, and I think that you'll be able to sense when the time's right. It kind of happens.
So my daughter is already getting to that point, and mm-hmm, I'm fully allowing my wife to have those conversations. I am not doing it because I don't know what to say. My wife is an enigma to me, and so is my daughter. I don't get them, and that is okay. I'm okay with having that. Like, I actually enjoy the fact that I still think my wife is a bit of a mystery, because
mm-hmm,
it's like every day I wake up and there's just something else to be solved.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's annoying, but overall, it's why I love her.
Yeah.
And my daughter is the same way. My boys are very huggy. My daughter, when I hug her, she chickens me. She goes, bark, bark, and then she just like noses me in the chest. And I'm like, this isn't really normal, but you're weird. But I think I'm leaning toward doing exactly what you're saying, especially now having heard it. Not pushing it, but just keeping that line of dialogue open.
Yeah.
Because I think he feels comfortable enough to just ask me questions. And that's what I want, is for him, when he gets there, to be like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And then to be like, oh, I know who I can answer that is Dad. Because I remember that he kind of had these conversations with me. He'll tell me, and he'll tell me privately. And that's the other neat thing that I try to cultivate, is like, hey, this is between you and me.
Right.
You know, not everybody knows about this. But between you and me, here's what's really going on. And that makes him feel like, oh, we got this special little thing then.
Yeah.
So I can bring it to you. That's kind of what I'm trying to create.
He's so analytical and, like you said, just focused on facts.
Yes.
That I think you lucked out with him. The younger one, might be an interesting.
I know. Hey, he's six. Yeah. I don't have to cross that bridge yet. But at some point, yeah, the interesting conversation is going to happen with the younger one, because I think I kind of let things slide a little bit more with that. That's got to be the third child thing.
Uh-huh.
That the first two were like, you cannot experience this until we say you're ready. The third right. one, we're like, just stay up till midnight. Who cares? Roy, thanks for being here. Thanks for your advice. Always appreciate your sage wisdom and your friendship. Nothing to add?
You're welcome.
Again, there's that sage wisdom.
Yeah.
Great communicator.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening to Wiggins America. We will see you next time.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.